the music of Johannes Brahms. Brahms's music will be the centerpiece of a concert this weekend, which will also explore Brahms's complicated relationship with Clara Schumann. Clara, a famous musician in her own right, was married to the composer Robert Schumann, and the two Schumanns and Brahms were extraordinarily close, both before and after the death of Robert Schumann in 1856. Good morning and welcome back to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall, and I'm joined in the studio by the actors Stanley Morstein and Patricia Coleman, who will perform on the program. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. Now, Stan, let me start with you. What is your role in this performance?
Well, my role is to perform the letters of Johannes Brahms. There was quite an exchange of letters between Johannes Brahms and Clara Schumann, and my role would be to present those letters.
And you're going to read the letters that Brahms wrote.
That's correct.
And Patty, you're going to read the letters that Clara wrote.
That is correct.
And then two wonderful pianists, Sara Ahuvia and Stephanie Ho, are going to play music by Brahms and Clara and Robert Schumann, right? So you get the whole package
all together.
Well, Patricia Coleman, I'm going to ask you to read one of the letters that you'll be reading on Sunday afternoon. Now, here's two folks. Clara and Robert had been married for a number of years. Robert, at this point, has been dead for 5 years. He was hospitalized in a mental institution after several nervous breakdowns. And Brahms continued to be very close to Clara, just how close is a matter of some controversy. He lived with the Schumann family for a while. He took care of the kids. He helped her with her bank account. He made sure that things were running smoothly in the household. And he was clearly enamored of her. So here's a letter that Clara is writing to him about 5 years after Robert has passed away.
Detmold, February 1861. My dear Johannes, I spent my whole morning paying duty calls in the castle, which meant a lot of running about. Then Princess Frederica had her lesson, after which I took a walk in the wood in the most glorious sunshine. But I returned feeling very unhappy, for I could not help thinking of you for the whole time and how lovely it would be if you were here. Yes, you are right. It would be nice if one could be more inspired by really fine people, but I prefer to love one or two really deeply than to rave about a crowd. And so I have no wish whatever that you should see me for the first time again in order to have real thrill once more, if that were at all possible. I should prefer you to love me heartily, and ever more and more. That is surely the best of all, isn't it?
WYPR. This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. I'm joined in the studio by the actors Stanley Morstein and Patricia Coleman. So the relationship between these two, here's Clara. She's 13 years older than Brahms.
Is.
They met when Brahms was 20 and she was 33. This is a few years after that. What's your understanding, Patricia Coleman, as an actress preparing these letters for performance? What do you think was going on between these two?
I think there was a very deep mutual respect for each other's music. I think it was unrequited love. I do believe they had a very strong, probably very passionate feeling about one another that never quite was solidified.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly shared a lot through their letters and inspired one another in their music.
I'd like to read you guys a letter myself. You guys were nice enough to bring letters along. I brought one too. A letter that Brahms didn't write to Clara, but wrote to a violinist buddy of his, a man named Joachim. They used to play concerts together. And he says the following to Joachim, his friend. He says, "I believe that I do not have more concern and admiration for her than I love her, am an under her spell. I often have to restrain myself forcibly from just quietly putting my arms around her. And even, I don't know, it seems to me so natural that she could not misunderstand." I think I can no longer love an unmarried girl. At least I have quite forgotten about them. They only promise heaven, while Clara shows it revealed to us. I think this boy was stricken. What do you think, Stan?
Well, I read where in the beginning his letters to her were of passion, and toward the end they were of veneration. And I thought in many ways that that explained and summed up the relationship.
That's Stanley Morstein. He joins me with Patricia Coleman here in the studio. They're reading from letters that are part of a program called Clara Schumann and Johannes Brahms, A Life in Letters. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1 WYPR. Well, Stanley Morstein, let me ask you to read a letter from February of 1855. This would be the last year of Schumann's life. Schumann was, to complicate matters further, institutionalized at this point for several nervous breakdowns. He had had a suicide attempt. So here's Brahms, basically in love with his best friend's wife, who's in a mental institution. Here's a letter that he writes to Clara in 1855.
Düsseldorf, 23 and 24 February, 1855. My most beloved friend, I feel I have so many beautiful things to tell you this evening that I really don't know where to begin. From 2 to 6 o'clock, I was with your beloved husband. And if you could see my blissful expression, you know more than any letter could tell you. He received me as warmly and cheerfully as the first time, but did not show the same subsequent excitement. Then he handed me your last letter, and he told me what a delightful surprise it had been to him. We spoke about your travels. And then I showed him your portrait. Oh, if you could have seen how deeply moved he was, how the tears almost stood in his eyes as he looked ever more closely at it. Oh, how long I have wished for this, he said at last, and as he laid it down, his hands trembled. He spoke much and often about you. How wonderfully, how magnificently you play. It would be impossible to hear Abend and Tramischfern played more beautifully than by her. And so, with heartiest greetings from your Robert and myself, and be content, at least with my good intentions, for you know how gladly I would give you more joy if I could. With heartfelt love and respect, your Johannes.
So passionate, and so it's so complicated because
he's
got to tell her how much her husband loves her when he himself loves her deeply as well.
This guy is much more complex. He's gruff, and he's self-deprecating, and it is complicated.
Patricia Coleman, let me ask you to read one more letter, and this is an example of how Clara was a wonderful sounding board for Johannes, because he would send her his music all of the time and, you know, deeply revered and respected her opinion. So he's talking to her about some folk songs that she's just received.
Wiesbaden, 1 July, 1858. I cannot tell you, dear Johannes, how much I have enjoyed your folk songs. If only I could express all that my heart feels about them. But I become ever more and more convinced that I must hold it in check. It pains me terribly to have to do so in musical matters, for you should and must know that I am not influenced in what I say by blind enthusiasm for you. I wish you would interpret my feelings a little more generously than you often do. Anybody reading what you have written about my enthusiasm would think me an extremely hysterical person who worships her friend like a god. You are not there, dear Johannes, to see or hear when I speak about you with others. Honestly, I do not get excited about it, but that I am often mightily captivated by the wealth of your genius, that you always seem to be one whom heaven has showered its fairest gifts, and that I love you and honor you for so many magnificent qualities. All this is true, dearest Johannes, and has taken deep root in my heart. So do not try and kill it all in me by your cold philosophizing. It is impossible. I am waiting for another letter, my Johannes. Think kindly of your Clara.
Stanley, let me ask you, as an actor, how do you go about imagining the voice of Brahms and imagining how he's feeling as he's writing these letters?
Well, I can only tell you that I doubt that I can replicate his voice, but I know that every time I read the letters, I find different meanings. And it's very complicated. I repunctuate it. I re-accent certain words. And I'm trying to find the essence of what he's feeling. And it helped a little to read about him outside of the scope of these letters to mm-hmm. understand what I'm saying and why I'm saying it. But I will say that each time I do it, it's a new discovery.
Yeah. And Patricia, how about you?
If I would imagine her voice, she's a mother. She's a composer in her own right. She grew up in a very musical family. So I had assumed that perhaps her voice was somewhat lyrical, musical, had a lot of depth. But I saw her as a real woman who kind of, did it all.
Well, she gave birth to eight children.
Eight children, managed a household.
Had a husband who was hospitalized and was, in a very intimate relationship with the most famous composer in all of German-speaking Europe. So it's a pretty complicated life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And she seemed to somehow hold it all together.
Patricia Coleman, Stanley Morstein, thanks so much for coming by. It sounds like it's going to be a great program.
It's
our great pleasure.
The program is called Clara Schumann and Johannes Brahms, A Life in Letters. It takes place Sunday afternoon at the Rosenblum Owings Mills Jewish Community Center. In addition to my guests, Stanley Morstein and Patricia Coleman, the program features the husband and wife piano duo Sar Ahuvia and Stephanie Ho. Next month, the Prime Performance Series continues on December 16th and 19th with staged readings of Tuesdays with Maury. We've got information on our website at wypr.org. I'm Tom Hall, and this is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1 WYPR. We'll leave you this morning with a little more of the music of Johannes Brahms. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Maryland Morning is an original production of your public radio, WYPR, in Baltimore. The program is produced by M.A. Pohl. Jennifer Chang and John Notoriani are assistant producers. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. Our interns are Rob Davis and Sal Gentile. Tom Hall, music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society, is our culture editor. Our theme was composed by Chris Kennedy at Clean Cuts. Coffee by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville on the web at zekescoffee.com. We're interested in your assessment of the General Assembly special session. Go to our website, wypr.org, click on Maryland Morning, and then on the contact link near the top. Let us know if we can read your comment on the air. I'm Sheila Cast for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. Thanks for sharing your morning with us.